I've been kind of looking around for children because I have a question for them. And you feel free just to give me the answer, okay? How many days till Christmas? A week? What do you think? 6 days? What do you think over here? You can't remember? Okay. Anybody else? 6 days. Okay. What do you think over here? How many? 6 days. Okay. What do you want to say? A week? Okay. I figured they would know. Because they're ready. But you know, we wouldn't need to have the children to tell us that, because that gospel reading tells us that Christmas is getting awful close. When we start, you know, when we start talking about Joseph and Mary and all of that. But you know, if you went to the second reading, you might wonder, what is that reading doing in the midst of this time which is so close to Christmas? Why couldn't the church have found a better reading? Well, let's look at it again, because it might be more appropriate than we first think. Let me just pick out parts of it. Notice how Paul starts. He says, Paul, a slave of Christ Jesus. That's how he looked at himself, a slave of Christ Jesus. What a powerful image. Then he goes on, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. Now I'm going to skip a few things. The gospel about his son, now note this, descended from David according to the flesh. What is he trying to tell us there? He's trying to tell us that this Jesus is son of David, a descendant of David. Now remember, it was David to whom it was promised that his reign, his dynasty, would last forever. And so Paul wants us to know that this Jesus is truly a descendant of King David. But then he goes on, but established as Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness through resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. He's saying here that this Jesus is really of human origin, descendant of David, but of divine origin through the power of the Holy Spirit. He doesn't use the words Joseph or Mary, but he lets us know very clearly that he is both human and divine. Now, you go to the gospel reading, and you get the same message in a different way. In the gospel reading, we have the message that this child conceived in Mary was done without the help of Joseph. That Joseph had no part in it, but it was through the power of the Holy Spirit. What is that wanting to tell us? Again, that he is of human origin, but of divine origin also. To put it in words that we're more familiar with, Son of God, Son of Mary. For the church, that has been one of those truths that has been essential to hang on to, that he is both Son of God, Son of Mary. That he is both human and divine. Because if we lose that, then he loses his power to reconcile us to God. If he is only human, then how can he reconnect us to the God from whom we have become estranged through sin. And if he is only God, how does he gather us to himself? He has to be both. Son of God, Son of Mary. God and man, wrapped up in one person. That is the very depth of our faith as a Christian people. This child, born of Mary, is both human and divine. I often have the fear that in our own time, there are many people who dismiss all of this as some kind of myth, as some kind of story, something like Santa Claus, a nice sentimental story, but with no reality. What brought that about? Well, over 100 years ago, in the Protestant community, there arose a group of theologians, biblical scholars, who began to want to demythologize the Bible. They held the view that a lot of these stories were mythology. Nice stories, but no historical basis. And so they tried to go through the scriptures and say, what in the scriptures is really historical? What really happened? Well, the more they studied, the more they became unsure that much of it was historical. Well, that gradually got into Catholic theology, especially in the late 1950s and 60s and 70s. There was this beginning to question, what's really real about all this? Well, somehow it kind of got down to all of us, and we began to doubt. Okay, did this happen? Is this really true? And yet, if you go back into our history, and I don't mean recent history of the last 100 years, I mean the history from the very beginning, what we will see is that there is an unshakable faith that this Jesus is Son of God, Son of Mary. This Jesus is truly divine and truly human. Now, some may ask the question, well, how do we know that they just didn't make all that up back then? You know, how do we know that this wasn't somebody who came up with a great story and everybody began to believe it and teach it and pass on the myth? Well, there are some historical records very close to the time of Jesus about those early believers. But I think what's far more impressive is the number of those early believers that believed so strongly that they were willing to die for what they believed. You know, I might come up with a good story and tell everybody, but if I knew it wasn't true, would I be willing to die for it? It's not too likely. And then for me to get other people to die for it, that would even be harder. And yet, those 12 apostles, from what we know, 11 died as martyrs for the story. And not only them, but a lot of others. People like Stephen and Paul. They were willing to put their life on the line because they believed this story that this Jesus is Son of God and Son of Mary. To me, that gives great credibility to our faith. We're not just believing in pious myths, sentimental stories. This is not like the fables about Santa Claus and the reindeers. This is a faith that has enriched millions throughout 2,000 years of history. It can enrich us if we allow ourselves to accept the Word of God, to believe it, to build our lives on it. It can give us richness. It can give us fullness. It can give us a hope that nothing can take from us.